Welcome to Wednesday Night Worship at First Baptist. Tonight's speaker is Dr. Jeff Reynolds.
And Lord, it's only well with our souls because you made it that way. So we say thank you. And we pray that your Spirit, who is so rich in this place, would speak to our hearts, show us Christ, draw us near, make us more like Jesus. For it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. My goodness. My goodness. Well, tonight we're going to look at Psalm 27. And I want to ask you this question. You ever been scared? Yeah, me too. I thought at some point I would outgrow it. I thought at some point I wouldn't get scared of things anymore. You know, when I was a kid, I was scared of the dark. And I really was, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. I was scared of the dark, and I was scared of what was in my closet at nighttime. Now, I knew what was in there during the daytime, everything that I'd piled up into the floor of it. My mother stayed on me about my closet all the time. Now, I have a wife who helps me keep my closet organized. But you know, I was always scared of something. And I would look at my parents, and they didn't seem like they were scared of anything. And then I grew up, and now I know better. Now I know that being scared of the dark or the boogeyman under the bed is not such a big deal because there are things that we really do find ourselves afraid of. And fear is a natural response to the human condition. Fear is universal. It is something that all of us have to deal with to some degree or another at some point or another, and sometimes layers of it. So what do you do when you're scared? That fear may come from what might happen to a loved one. Of course, we grieve with all those who are mourning, those who perished in not one but two helicopter accidents that affected our country. And we pray with those whose lives have changed as a result of things that, boy, you just don't feel like there was any control over them. Why did this happen? Sometimes we're scared of what might be coming for us. I mean, you go to the doctor. And it's one thing to have a flu test or to have a strep test, as unpleasant as that may be, but it's another thing when they're testing for other stuff, bigger stuff, things that will change life for the next few months, few years even. Being scared is part of living, and what do you do? Well, there's all sorts of motivation. If you want to get on your favorite search engine or your favorite video site, you can look up, what do I do with my fear? And there will come somebody on there to give you all the motivation you need to face your fear and stand up to it. And here's what I'm going to tell you to do tonight. I'm going to tell you to do something just a little different. But it's based upon Psalm 27. Psalm 27 is a psalm of David, and I came to know Psalm 27 through a worship song in about 1997. It was a worship song written by Steve Tishner, who's here in Bowling Green. In fact, his son just won a Grammy the other day. But Steve wrote a song called He Lifts My Head Up, and it was one of those amazing moments. I was just starting to read the Bible, and it was one of those Gomer Pyle Shazam moments where I'm like, he took that out of the Bible. But the song started out, the Lord is my light. He's my salvation. The Lord is my strength. Whom shall I fear? When the wicked shall come and make war against me, I'll run to my rock, and I will not fear. You say, Jeff, how do you remember that? That was a long time ago. Well, here's how. God is able to take the words of the songs we sing and write them on our hearts. That's why you just sang the words that Horatio Spafford wrote in the face of tragedy with more gusto than maybe you sang anything in the last couple of months. It is well. Why is it well? Because our God has won the victory in Jesus Christ. And so it is well. So tonight I want to give you this theme. Fear is natural. That's part of the human experience. Fear is natural. God is supernatural. Isn't that good news? Fear is only natural, but our God is supernatural. And tonight, instead of encouraging you to face your fears, which we all have to do at times, I want to ask you to do this. Make your fear face your God. Make your fear face your God. Psalm 27, let's look at the first three verses. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. The first thing I want us to get tonight, and this applies to you only if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. If you're not yet a follower of Jesus Christ, this does not yet apply to you, but it can if you will repent of your sin and surrender your life to Jesus. But as a follower of Jesus, my confidence is in the Lord. As a follower of Jesus, my confidence is in the Lord. It's interesting, the etymology of that word. It comes to us from the Latin, confide, with trust, with faith. So I am confident, I am with trust, but not in myself. I am confident, I am with faith, but that faith is not rooted in me. That faith is rooted in my Lord, Yahweh, who is my light, and who is my salvation? My faith is rooted in the one who is greater than anyone who would come against me. My faith is rooted in the one who is greater than anything I might have to face. And my faith is rooted in the one who is greater than any circumstance I might ever have to go through. And so what do I do in the face of my fear? Well, first I stand as a follower of Jesus Christ with confidence, but that confidence is simply the state of my being with faith in my God who is bigger. And here's the hard part. God's going to call you and me to walk with faith through the fear. And walking by faith means not walking by sight. Following Jesus means that you and I are going to have to become comfortable not seeing the whole route before us. Walking with faith in Jesus Christ means that you and I are going to have to become comfortable taking the next step by which Jesus leads us. And sometimes he's going to cause us to step in directions we weren't anticipating. Sometimes he's going to call us to go through doors we didn't expect to go through. But through those directions, through those doors, he's going to show us himself. And he's going to teach us something about us we wouldn't otherwise have learned. How many of you have learned your greatest life lessons in times of your greatest joy? Pretty much nobody. How many of you have learned your greatest life lessons in times of greatest hardship and sorrow? Yeah, me too. I don't like that. I just wish he could download the Cliff's Notes and I could just say, yes, Lord, I've got it, and move on. But you know, it's through those times of hardship, when it's foggy, as it is in that picture you see, that God compels us not to just give the Sunday school answer that we walk by faith, but to actually do it. We walk by faith, not by sight. My confidence is in the Lord. Look at the next three verses. Verse 4. One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Secondly, as a follower of Jesus, my shelter is in the Lord. As a follower of Jesus, my shelter is in the Lord. We have two children at home. One's in sixth grade, one's in second grade. One acts a whole lot tougher than the other one because, you know, he's tough, right? But he's still a kid. And it's interesting, as we've watched our children grow up, they face the same fears early on that we faced. Go in that dark room and get something. I love you. I ain't going in there. Well, just turn the light on. I'm going to need you to turn that light on for me. But the switch is right there at the door. You have light. You can see the switch. Just reach in there and turn it on. I need you to come turn it on for me. I mean, that's the reality of my children. And we love our children, and we're so thankful for our children. But sometimes when you just sit down in the recliner, you don't want to get back up and go turn that light on. But here's what's interesting. When you get back up, when my wife or I get back up and walk with them to the room, we can go in there with them without even turning the light on. Do you know why? Because as long as we're there, whatever's in the dark isn't going to get them. As long as we're there, it doesn't matter that it's dark. They're safe because they have confidence in the shelter being provided by their parents. I mean, my daughter's funny. She can be timid sometimes, not often, but sometimes. But man, if I'm around or her mama's around, she is as bold as a lion because she knows she's got shelter. She's got a refuge. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge. God is our strength. He is a very present help in times of trouble. And so everything gives way. The world goes upside down. Everything's crazy. Who's there? God's there. You say, I can't always feel Him. You're right. But sometimes our feelings lie to us. That's when you have to learn to preach to yourself. That's when you have to get up in the morning and say, God, I don't feel you, but you said you were here, and you keep your word, and you keep your promises, and your promises are absolutely true. And you have irrevocably promised to me in Jesus Christ that you are with me through the presence and power of your Holy Spirit. You will not leave me. You will not forsake me. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou even preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You got to learn to preach to yourself, because Satan's going to lie to you. He's going to lie to you in the morning. He's going to lie to you in the night. He's going to get in your head and stir up your stomach. And you're going to have to learn to preach the word to yourself. And you may not be able to see because you're laying there in the dark. And that's why you got to hide the word in your heart so it's there. God, you said this. You said you had me in your grip and you were never going to let me go. And so, Lord, right now, I'm having a hard time holding on, but I know that you're holding on to me. As long as you're with me, it's going to be okay, because you are my shelter. You are my refuge. You are my strength. David said, one thing I want, the only thing I want, is to be with you, to be in your holy house, your holy temple. If you're following the reading plan, you're reading about Solomon building the temple right now that David wanted to build, but God said no, and Solomon was going to build it. Did you know that now, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you are the temple? The Spirit of God dwells in you wherever you are, wherever you go. God is with you. And it may not always feel that way, but it always is that way. And it will never not be that way, because God's word is true. And He's promised that to you. We'll not leave you as orphans, He said, but I'll come to you. I'll send my Holy Spirit. I'm going, Jesus said, to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, then I'll return to get you, that where I am, there you may be also. If anybody ever asks you to define heaven, here's the answer. Where Jesus is, that's it. And that's enough. So the Lord is our shelter. And now, verses 7 through 12. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help. Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. What's David do here? He's standing in confidence. He's trusting in God as his shelter, and now he comes to the portion of his prayer that we call supplication. And that means I'm asking for something. God, I need your help. You've been my shelter. You've been my shield. You've been my strength. You have brought me through every enemy I've had to stand against. You've carried me through the valley of the shadow of death. And yet again, Lord, I face danger. Yet again, Lord, I am afraid. Yet again, Lord, I'm not sure how it's going to go. And so, Lord, I'm going to pray to you. Number three, for those of you who are looking, as a follower of Jesus, my hope is in the Lord. My hope is in the Lord. What does that mean? That means when new difficulties arise. I heard a story today, actually, of a woman who wrote a book about this experience, and the book is entitled Holding On to Hope. It came out in the early 2000s. I can't tell you her name. But she and her husband were married. She became pregnant. They gave birth to a baby boy, and everything was great. Well, round two came along, and she became pregnant with a baby girl. But they discovered during her pregnancy that something was wrong. They discovered that the baby had a genetic condition that could happen only because she and her husband both carried the recessive gene for this disease. So there's a 25% chance that the baby would have this disease. And sure enough, the baby had this disease. And what that meant was that the baby was not going to live longer than a few months. And so they named her Hope. And as strong believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, loving the Lord, praying for a miraculous healing, they held her knowing that they would not get to hold her long. And so a few months into her short life, her young life, she slipped from this earth. Well, they decided they didn't want to go through that again. And God used their story, and she even shared it with Sunday school classes in her church, made her notes, and they took surgical steps to ensure that that wouldn't happen again, that she would not become great with child anymore. Well, the surgery failed. And suddenly she found herself bearing yet another child. And of course she did what you would do and what I would do. Lord, what is this? What are you doing? Is this some sort of miraculous thing where you're going to give us this child and you're going to allow us to love this baby and raise this baby? Because the math says that there's a 25% chance that this child could have the same disorder. And Lord, I just don't know if I can go through that again. So the time came for the testing to be done, and they did the testing, and it turned out that this child had a disorder. And she really struggled. Firm believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in the providence of God, trusting in the goodness of God, and trusting in God's love for her. And yet she struggled, just like I would and just like you would. And she prayed a lot of the same prayers that you and I might pray. Lord, why are we having to walk through this again? This was awful. This was terrible. Lord, why are we doing this again? Lord, if there was some sort of lesson I was supposed to have learned the first time around, I'm sorry I didn't learn it. I hate that I'm having to go through this to learn whatever. I mean, she's just trying to wrap her. She's walking in the fog. But she knew some things. She knew that God was good. She knew that God loved her. She knew that God was in charge. And she knew that though her cheeks remained stained with tears just about every single day of her pregnancy and young Gabriel's life until he went home to glory, she knew that God would see her through. And though she did not get the answer to the question for which her soul yearns for an answer, why? She said, yet will I trust, yet will I follow. Her hope is in the Lord. She took the notes that she had used to speak about hope, and during her pregnancy with Gabriel, she wrote the book, Holding On to Hope. I haven't read it, but I intend to very soon. Sometimes that's the way it is. As we follow Jesus, it's just not clear. And it just doesn't make sense. And yet we trust that our God is good. He is for us, not against us. And he has us in his hand, and he will never let us go. And so when a new need arises, when a new circumstance causes me to fear, because I'm finding in just shy of 40 years of life, I'm finding that there's always a new circumstance arising. I thought for a while that eventually I'd arrive and it wouldn't happen anymore. And you know what I'm finding? I was wrong. Spurgeon's credited with saying, "I will kiss the wave that casts me upon the rock of ages." I've learned to kiss the wave that casts me upon the rock of ages. My hope is in the Lord. Now verses 13 and 14. "I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." And lastly, I want us to see tonight that as a follower of Jesus, my trust is in the Lord. I can't tell you how many times I return to verse 14 in my life. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Have confidence. Kon fide, with faith. And let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. One of the hardest things we will ever experience as followers of Jesus Christ is there will come a point where all we have done is all we can do. And we just have to wait for God. I've jokingly said before, if you want to see God answer your prayer immediately, pray for patience. You will get stuck in traffic that day, maybe within the next few minutes. Or you will go for medical testing. And even though the lab's just down the hall, it's going to be 3.5 weeks before they can get those results to you. And you might be fine or you might be dying. We don't know. If you want to see God answer your prayer quickly, just ask him for patience. He'll give it to you in this way. He'll help you exercise patience that is in you through the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. Wait for the Lord. What happens when we wait for the Lord? I heard a preacher say that the way that a finite being like me can come to know an infinite being like God is for God to allow me to be pushed to the limits of my finiteness. Get to know the Lord. We get to see him come through. We get to see the little ways that he shows his goodness along the way, because that's what he does. If you'll look, he's showing you evidences of his hand working even though you're still waiting for the Lord. He's still on his throne. He's still in control. He still loves you. He still has plans for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future, because one day, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're going to stand on streets of gold and see that that future he promised you really is pretty glorious. And the reason it's glorious is you're going to be with him forevermore. So persevere, Christian. Paul wrote to Timothy, remembering Timothy's tears, remembering the faith that was in his grandmother and in his mother and now was in him. He said, "God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." So when you're afraid, here's what you do. Make your fear face your God, because fear is only natural. But God, he's supernatural. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we love you, and we thank you so much for your kindness, your presence with us, the hope that we have in you. Lord, keep us with our eyes fixed on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross and scorned the shame and sat down at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. Because Jesus has finished the work of the cross, we can stand knowing that our future is secure in him. Lord, as we prepare to go out into this cold, drizzly night and face the rest of this week, we do so with the knowledge that we do not go alone. For you are with us, you are in us, you go before us, you are behind us, you hem us in, and you never let us go. So we join our hearts and our voices together yet again to pray the prayer that our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. And in so doing, we will answer the question, whose Father? Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God bless you.